Welcome to the Craig and Greg Show, presented by Maximize Leadership. Now, here are Craig Owens and Greg Harris.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Craig and Greg Show. I'm Craig, alongside Greg. We are coming up in one of our favorite times of year, the Christmas season. I love that time of year. If you are a sales professional or if you know somebody, I've got a great Christmas gift idea for you right here. This is Sales Armageddon by Mr. Greg Harris. This is a fantastic book. And if you know, if you're working in the sales world or you know somebody who is, this is a great gift. This is going to help boost either your career or their career because there's some great insights in there. And I got a chance to read some of these chapters as you were writing them. And,
you helped me.
We've been talking about it for a while. And it's written, I love the characters that we meet in this story. So we've talked about this before. We'll link to another previous episode where you can see where we first introduced this topic. But if you weren't there for this episode, every chapter, you're going to meet a new character. They're all a part of a company that you created. You kind of came up with the name of the company, and you gave names to the characters. But these are all real people that you have experienced in your life, and but you just put them all together in this one fictional company. Mm-hmm. And so we get to meet, in every chapter, we get to meet a new character, and you'll meet the sales manager that has to kind of coach them, guide them, and we see a learning experience. We see a learning curve. Some of them get it. Some of them don't. Some of them get it right away. Some of them take a while. Some of them show up in subsequent chapters because they've learned the lesson so well, they're able to help other people on their team, which is, we love seeing that peer-to-peer support there. But it's not, just so you know, it's just not all like kind of a fluffy story. It just, the story grabs your attention. And then Greg turns to kind of the hard facts, like, okay, this is how you can work through this issue. So I thought to give people, this is almost like a pre-Christmas present. Let's unwrap a couple of...
Is it wrapped? So we have to unwrap it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Let's unwrap a couple of these characters that they're going to meet. So you've got a chapter. The chapter is called Aggressively Waiting for the Phone to Ring. So just think about that picture for a second. Somebody sitting there just looking at their phone. They're a sales professional, and they're sitting there, and they're like waiting for that phone to ring with the prospects. Again, this is based on a person or kind of a compilation of a couple people that you've known. But describe that person that's aggressively waiting for the phone to ring.
Well, sometimes I might put myself in the story, which I'm not going to tell you what that is, but I've made enough mistakes in sales and business to write a trilogy. Got to write a pretty good book on business decisions that were good. But Eddie's the first one. That's the, you know, waiting for the phone to ring. That phrase, actually, I got to give my dad credit. He worked with a sales guy, which is why I changed the name. It wasn't Eddie. And he would come in and a cup of coffee and a donut and not make one call, like for an hour. And my dad's like, you got that much business? He goes, no, I'm aggressively waiting for the phone to ring. And that was our joke, really, from high school on for me. Like, sure. How do you wait aggressively? I didn't get that. It was an oxymoron.
Right.
But Eddie's the character in the ES company from Huntsville, Alabama.
Right.
So that's where the story starts. So it's basically a fable with business lessons.
Sure.
But Eddie just needs to get a little more energy, get a little more enthusiastic.
Well, let's talk about what kind of hole or what kind of position did he put himself in by being sort of passive about this? What's yeah. happening there?
Well, I think probably a little bit of confidence issues, maybe a little bit unsure, which happens to all of us in sales,
sure.
You know, or a sales organization.
Right.
He really didn't have a mentor at that time in the story.
Sure.
So he kind of just muddled and stumbled through and wasn't as successful as certainly his potential.
Right.
And then what's cool in the fable, most of the time the chapters will turn and the light will go on. Sometimes it's a little late. But you want the light to go on if you can redeem someone.
Sure.
And so Eddie just didn't bring his best.
Sure.
Didn't like change. hesitated, and that's why he aggressively waited for the phone to ring, because the phone didn't ring.
Sure.
And of course, he, you know, didn't make the contests and didn't win, which is Dwayne, the sales manager, would love to have given the trophy to Eddie, but Eddie didn't try his best, and there's reasons behind it. But yeah, the whole waiting for the phone to ring, it's like, you're in sales, and I've had this, maybe you've heard it in your organizations that you've worked with too, is, well, do you got any leads for me?
Yeah.
That is sales.
Right.
My gosh, you know, it's like, here's a list. That's not sales. That's just a clerk calling people. Right. So you got to warm it up, and, you know, people just, is there any, does the company have any leads for me? So, but you're in sales, right? We could give the young person a couple head starts, but.
We are talking about, in this case, there would be in a lot of organizations, they would have maybe an inside salesperson.
True.
That people are responding. I'm there to respond to the ads or whatever, but you're talking about somebody that's not their job.
No, they're outside hunting.
Right.
They're prospecting, right. Networking. And so Eddie was just a little sloth, just a little slow. Things passed him by. And actually, I think in the chapter, Dwayne might have given him a lead, and he failed it because he just didn't bring his best.
Sure.
And it is attractive, you know, when someone brings their energy, their enthusiasm, you can kind of feel it, like, I want to work with that person. Sure. And Eddie just took his eye off the ball and didn't bring his energy. It wasn't attractive. But I love the characters, because in most cases, I wanted a redemption story.
Sure.
The business portion, like you were referring to, Craig, is fun, because that's just putting the points out there, right. And what to do about it.
I don't know that you guys can necessarily see on here, but the sub headline on here, the subtitle of this book is Prepare and Practice Sales Differently or Perish, which is the idea of the sales Armageddon, because there really has to be something in today's world. Ooh. Where people can, you know, they can pull out their phone, their computer, and they can shop there without really interacting with the person. Yeah. If you are going to be in sales, which you still today advocate, that could be a really good career for somebody, but you're going to have to differentiate yourself.
Yeah.
And you're not going to differentiate yourself by just sitting there, I'm looking at my phone, I'm aggressively waiting for it to ring.
Yeah,
that's not going to happen. Yeah. So in the business part, when you get into the nuts and bolts, what sort of counsel do you give people? What are some things, maybe that some traps that they need to overcome that are maybe holding them back? What are some ideas? We don't want you to give away the whole book. We're just giving a little teaser here, but give us a couple of thoughts of what could happen to somebody, or what could they maybe do to break out of that slump?
Well, I think some of the problems for most of us in sales are our habits. Certain habits excel us, draw people to us. All of a sudden, we got opportunities that were like, I didn't even look for that one. That just came to me. And others that, you know, kind of take the shortcut, maybe don't bring their best A game, maybe, you know, kind of like, I don't want change. So you're going to be put in the commodity box, unfortunately.
Sure. Yep.
And differentiating today's world is really hard, because our phones have bandwidth. I mean, we're getting bombarded with books, ideas, conferences, workshops, strategies, pie graphs, etc. And probably it's a good lesson that maybe the phone is the deterrent for actually bringing your energy. You sit there on the phone after a while, and you're like, well, there's a lot of information here, and is it helping you? No. Something might, but I think outside sales reps, professionals, mentors are really big. Coaching is really big. Having teammates that kind of want you to win too. And that's in the fable too. And there's a couple stories where someone dropped the ball, lost a sale. Someone came in, kind of turned it around, saved it. And then the person that lost it realized, wow, I could practice that same habit she had.
Sure.
It's not that special, but I just don't do it. I think the problem that most of us have is we get tripped up by, you know, maybe our own schedule. We're tired when we go to work. Potentially, you know, forms, meetings, we're, you know, dilly-dallying around, having long lunches with buddies and not really prospecting. So our own habits really kind of hurt ourselves. But yeah, the aggressively waiting can be annihilated with a with a couple good moves, and most do it. They figure it out because they don't want zero on their commission.
Yeah, that's not pleasant, is it?
It's tough to buy groceries.
You pull out that check and you're like, oh, yeah.
Well, all of those zeros on that side of the decimal. Wow,
right.
I was thinking, oh, I want it on that side. Yeah.
Now, this isn't in your book, so I want to put you on the spot here a little bit, because we're talking about aggressively waiting for the phone to ring versus somebody who picks up the phone. Now, there might be somebody who says, well, I'm actually sitting here at my computer and I'm firing off some very targeted emails and I'm going to generate some leads that way. Email certainly has its place, mm-hmm. but talk a little bit about the initial contact with somebody, the advantages of them hearing your voice, you being on the phone versus them getting something sent via email. How would you speak to that person that says, oh, I'm sitting here, I'm firing off these emails. I bought a really good email list and I'm sending something off. How would you respond to that?
I think it's part of the strategy to be excellent in sales. I think an email is singular. You know, it's one-dimensional. Meeting someone or talking gives me two or three dimensions. You know, like they heard my excitement.
Right.
They listened and I was polite enough to say, did that make sense? I'm going too fast. I'm sorry, you know. In an email, it's just not interested.
Sure.
You know, or
don't even, they don't even read it. They just right. delete it and move on.
It can be part of a very good strategy. And if someone's got great subject line questions and statements and things that get their attention, then they go down to read it. But overall, we're human, sure. You know, we want to hear the person's voice. Oh, that voice is amazing. He should read bedtime stories to me, you know?
Sure.
And, but other times you're like an email, I can't tell if you're happy, right. If you're confident.
Are you smiling while you're typing this?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And obviously we don't use caps anymore because we learned that the hard way years and years ago, but, email's fine. Personal notes I really like. That's not in the book.
Like handwritten?
Handwritten notes and not company notes.
Right.
Your own, you know, CTO on your card and it's from you.
Yeah.
Now you can put the business card in there. That's great. But like a personal note. Yeah. I was doing some training for a company and one of the guys goes, you know, I didn't believe you on the personal notes. Oh, I'm so sorry. You know, but now I am. I said, well, I didn't do anything from the last time I talked to you. Yeah, but someone else did.
Oh.
What'd you do? Well, I met with a banker and the next day I got a thank you note in the mail. I did the math. I'm thinking, our post office is good, but
that's really
that good?
That's really fast, yeah.
And what he did was he put it in the mail before he left. And he didn't say it was great to talk about the subject because he didn't have that meeting yet. But thanks for making time. I look forward to building our network together. Thanks for agreeing to collaborate and meet. And let's go do something fun. That was basically the sentence. When my client received that card, he goes, that's what Greg's talking about. Because it felt different than like a batch email, maybe a little bit static or chlorinated email. You're like, oh, they sent that to 80 people.
I literally got one yesterday.
Did you?
On LinkedIn. I got an email that started off, dear name.
Didn't say Craig.
No, it said dear and then name in brackets. And then it said, I'm so glad that we made this connection on LinkedIn. I'm so excited to get to know you more. I'm like, no, you're not. You're not excited to get to know me more. You can't even put my name in the email. You just say, dear name.
I'm sure it was a zero return.
Yeah.
Or if he did get a response, you Nimrod, why didn't you put my name in it?
Actually, I did send a response
back. Did you? There you go.
With a laughing face emoji.
That's brilliant.
Like, I'm like, okay, this you made me laugh by sending this one.
So, you know, I think with being in sales is not for the faint of heart.
No,
it's not. Hence why, it's
sales
a battle.
Armageddon.
It's a war.
Right,
you know,
right.
I'm not saying you have to shoot things, but it's like, it's a battle. You got to be tactical.
That's right.
You know, you got to have some recon and things like that. But so what Eddie learned was, if I bring nothing to the game, I get nothing out of the game.
Yep.
That's the summary. There's other fun stories in there. But then the figures really are, if you bring your energy and then they didn't buy from you.
Yep.
In a couple years, they're going to be like, the guy I bought from is really waiting for the phone to ring.
Yep.
I'm going to go to Eddie. So put your best forward. On the emotions. I think the part that is cool about what Eddie learned is enthusiasm is like a light with moths. You put the light outside, you know, your mercury light by your garage, and all of a sudden you got bugs, but all of a sudden spiders. What draws things? And so your ho-hum, you're probably not going to get the call. You know, you're not going to get the call to the big leagues and come on in. But unfortunately, we learn it a little late. You know, we lose opportunities.
Well, we don't have to.
And they don't even tell you.
Right.
You know, the reason, Greg, I didn't buy from you because you didn't sound too interested.
Yep.
No one ever tells you.
They just don't buy.
Yep. And then they think, oh, these buyers, you know, it must be our pricing. We don't have a lot of really cool features. And it's not. It's how did you connect?
Yep.
And did they feel welcome? You know, so Eddie's a cool character. He did figure it out, which is beautiful and had a great sales career. But.
Well, and in this book, so you're going to find not only the fable, but you're going to kind of keeping with the theme of Sales Armageddon, you're going to find in here some sales ammo.
Yep.
You're going to find the sales battle. You're going to find the Armageddon advantage. There's some resources if you want to follow up, you want to go a little bit deeper on these things. So it's not just a fluffy story. There's some hard stuff in there. So let's talk about and we're going to unpack one other chapter in here. We have another chapter that is the know-it-all. Okay, so you think about the one that's aggressively waiting for the phone to ring, they're probably not the know-it-all, you know, because they're just waiting for somebody to call them. But the know-it-all is the one that, if they're making the phone call, they're not even giving the other person a chance to share anything. In conversations, they're not listening to what the prospect's saying because I already know what's best for you. And so this is another great character that we meet here, Paolo. Is our know-it-all, and why do we act like that?
I don't know him that well. I just wrote the story.
You know the character that it was based on.
Well, I do, and I won't say his real name just to protect the innocent. I guess he's guilty. He's not even innocent,
right,
is he?
Right. He's guilty.
Yeah, he's guilty. I think Pablo just avoided being humble and hungry.
Yeah.
Whether it was a defense mechanism or just a personality flaw, like he really did think he was a know-it-all. This person I referred to and just had to change the name to protect the guilty, he really did think he was a know-it-all. Like he had an answer for everything. Even if you went to med school, he could tell you the difference between ibuprofen and Advil, and you're wrong if you say it's the same. Very unfun to be around.
Right.
And so what happened in the story was the sales team really didn't gravitate to Pablo because he was a know-it-all, and it's really not very enjoyable.
You don't want that person on your team.
No, right. And so he didn't get included much. You know, Dwayne really was, you know, trying to get people to kind of talk with him, mentor him too. And because when you're in sales management, you got tons of people and you've got data and you've got lists and you've got deadlines and you got support team, and you know, you really couldn't hold Pablo's hand. But I think for him, he wasn't curious. And I think that's probably the biggest one. Like I'm kind of intrigued. I'd like to stop by that tool and die company, you know, and see what they need. He, of course, had conversations where he was telling them what to do,
right?
And they're like,
instead of
like asking, hey, how can I help you? What right. do you need help with today?
Yep.
He kind of told them he knew better than them, and so his pipeline was a little dry after a while.
Yep.
But the avoidance often is probably more personal. What is it that did you have daddy issues? I'm joking. That's not in the book, but I do wonder. At some point, you're like, when are you going to just play to the humble card? And just say, hey, I'm hungry, I'm humble. You know, so he had to learn the hard way, and it was a little brutal in that chapter for Pablo.
Yeah.
But and other people didn't really enjoy him. So when he was not getting success, a good team will rally around that player, that teammate who's not doing that great.
Right.
No one really came to his help because he wasn't enjoyable.
Yep.
And so I think in that chapter he hired an outside coach.
Yep.
Because no one inside was really interested in helping the guy that was a problem or a pain, you know. And then he had the epiphany himself with the direction of a coach, which kind of a plug for what we do, you know, to coach people to be better leaders, better servant leaders, which is your title in your book. But I think for Pablo, just change, and that's not fun for a know-it-all.
No.
They red is red, and well, now that's blue. No, that's still red. And so stubbornness probably is a little bit in there. I wasn't trying to crucify Pablo. If I put the real guy's name in there, that'd be crucifixion. But yeah, Pablo just made it. He made a rough road for himself.
Sure.
And Dwayne was patient, and then there was a nice little save at the end of the chapter.
It was a breakthrough, right?
Yeah. So he came forward and was transparent and authentic versus plastic and fake. But a lot of it's posturing, you know, when someone's a know-it-all.
Sure. Oh, sure.
But the buyer's, the real reason I wrote the book, it's for the buyer. Like, the buyer's opinion of Pablo was, why would I work with him? He tells me I'm doing things wrong.
Right.
Well, that's
my company. How does he know he's
exactly
doing it wrong?
I just met him. He hasn't been here for years.
Right.
But I think for most of us, we want to be knowledgeable.
Sure.
And you've had that in your career with different organizations and people. There is that fine line of knowledgeable and know-it-all.
Yeah.
Like, be a resource, but don't be, you know, a pain.
Right.
And I think for Pablo, he learned in the end. So hopefully it encourages your readers that, you know, just ask more questions, you know, be willing to modify how you approach things, and you'll move the ball down the field, you'll score more, and it'll be fun because you got people that are kind of cheering you on when you miss one.
Sure.
In this case, he was pretty lonely inside the organization. Yeah. So,
yeah. Well, it's a great book, friends. Listen, if you haven't picked that up already, it's an enjoyable read, and you could probably, every chapter really stands alone.
Sure.
I mean, you could just meet those characters, but it's kind of fun watching all of them interact with each other and finally come together, especially at the end. They all rally around. But every chapter, you're going to have that fable that's based on real characters. You're going to have the sales ammo. There's so many things that you can walk away with that you'll be able to implement right away.
I think that's the key for me. That would be the hope. Like, you know, shake it up a little bit and implement. There's a quote I want to share real quick. If you aren't willing to learn, no one can help you.
Yeah.
And that was Pablo. But if you are determined to learn, no one can stop you. And Pablo had the quick change at the end due to him finding a life coach.
Yep.
That's not why I wrote the book for life coach, but the point was no one inside the organization was willing to spend time.
Yeah, of course not.
You're offensive, you're a blowbag or whatever, you know.
Yep.
I don't write that word in there, blowbag, but...
Well, and as Greg mentioned, that is the value of having an outside coach come in, because sometimes there's those personality issues inside the company, and it's a little bit harder to take that counsel from somebody that I work alongside.
Mm-hmm.
But when an outside coach comes in, so if you go to maximizeleadership.com, you'll find the coaching page there, and you can read about some of the coaches that we have there. That's not all of them. And you can fill out the form at the bottom, tell us a little bit about your situation. But the other thing that you may also want to consider as well, Greg, also you hinted at a couple of your keynote addresses that you do about asking really good questions and getting more at bats when you're there, and the Top Gun sales techniques that you have. This is a great place to maybe energize your sales team as well, is to bring Greg in for a keynote address. Mm-hmm. So on Maximize Leadership, there's a lot of places where you can fill out the form and get more information, phone number there to contact as well. So, but friends, again, as I said earlier, this is a great book. You'll find it on the website. Find it on Amazon as well. I think we got the ebook version out now.
Oh, I don't know.
Maybe. I think it's in the works.
Could be.
If it's not out there already. But this would be a great gift for you if you're a sales professional, or if you know somebody, pick up a copy and give it to them for Christmas. It's a unique book, the way that it's written. Well done.
Thank you. Well, you helped me, so that's cool. But I think one of my pet peeves on books is length. Like, I won't say the author's name, but I think it was a brilliant book, but it took him 63 pages to give me one point.
Yeah.
So there's 6 points in the book, and the book was 367 pages. I'm like, I don't have that time.
Right.
So I didn't want to dwell on subjects too long, but it's fast hitting. That's why I gave ammo and quotes and things like that. Like, ooh, that I'm going to try that. So my hope would be that this elevates your game, your excellence, And maybe you might even associate with some of the characters like, oh yeah, I work with a guy like that, you know.
That's well, hopefully some of them look in the mirror and say, that's oh, true. that describes me. I'm going to learn something from that.
Am I that kind of guy?
As long as you're not the know-it-all, you probably are
going to
learn
just fine. You're right? Just fine, yeah.
Well, pick up a copy of the book. Check out all the resources that we have on Maximize Leadership. Make sure if you haven't subscribed to our YouTube channel, please do that, because not only do we have these full-length episodes, but we've got a lot of shorter clips and resources that come out as well that are going to help fuel you. Our goal, our desire is for you to excel in whatever leadership area that you're in, because when you get better, everybody around you gets better, and it just makes the world a nicer place when that takes place. So we're looking forward to any input that you have. So you could leave a comment right below on this video or on Twitter, X now. I got to get that right.
I say it together. I tell you, X Twitter.
You can also tweet at us there. Maybe give us an idea of a future episode that you'd like us to talk about, or questions, comments on any of our previous episodes. We're going to be around with some great content for you in this upcoming year, so stay tuned, because we're going to be rolling out that stuff your way really, really soon.
Get in touch with Craig and Greg through Twitter at Maximize Podcast or at MaximizeLeadership.com. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss any episodes of The Craig and Greg Show.